Good morning and welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. Thank you both for that lovely song. We'll hope to use that in some weeks to come. I thought we'd just introduce it
subtly to you this morning, and then perhaps we can learn to sing it together. It's lovely to have you here this morning so we can worship God together. Just to let you know, something a bit different is happening next Sunday. You'll be given a tag as you come in. When I say tag Sunday, it doesn't mean you have to go out and graffiti the town. You'll be given a little sticker as you come in. All I'm going to ask you to do, well, the person at the door will ask you to do, is to put your first name on it. No one will be singled out and no one will be missed out. The idea is that people that you're too embarrassed to say, oh, what's your name? Well, you'll know, won't you? Because they'll have it on. And it'll just give us a chance for people where we don't know each other's names to get a hold of them. I'm Richard, by the way, in case you hadn't picked that one up. And the other thing, just to say, is that a little bit later on during this morning's worship, we will hold a fire drill. Now, I'm sorry for that, and I know it interrupts the flow of things, but we have to do it when the building is busiest. And when the building is busiest is on a Sunday. So in order to keep all of us safe, we have to do this at least once a year. So that will happen a little later on. And we'll make it as quick and as easy as we can. When the fire alarm sounds, you'll need to go out through either this door or that one, and you'll need to assemble in the entrance to the Mills and Ban car park. So if you don't know where that is, halfway down the slope, you'll see the little car park on the left. And there'll be a crowd starting to form there. As soon as we've counted everybody, we'll ask you to come back in and we'll continue with our worship. But that will need to happen later on. So there is your little bit of advance warning. Listen to this lovely description of Jesus before he ever came. This is the angel talking to Joseph. And he says, call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means God to the rescue. And we celebrate that this morning. Let's stand and sing together.
Lord, we look up to you this morning as a body of people unified in unity, in purpose, and in spirit. We praise you, Jesus. You are the one who saves. Lord, we ask now that as we look to you together, that so too we would realign ourselves, our own lives, our own thinking, our thoughts, our dreams, our plans that we have, but you know better. We sang, you see from a different angle. So Lord, take us this morning as we just recommit ourselves to you individually and corporately. Let's sing, over all the earth, Lord, reign in me.
Thank you.
please sit down. Let's just take a moment to pray together over all the earth. Father, here now in your presence and in each other's company, we acknowledge that you rule over all things. The mountain heights, the ocean depths, the huge trees scraping the sky, the tiniest blossoms. In all of it, Father, we see your hand at work. We praise you, and we ask now that you would send your Spirit on your people as they worship you here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, have you had a look around to see which box is out today? Can you see the science box? Can you see the story box? What can you see? Yeah, now, whenever I have this one, it's because I don't need to put much in it because you're going to do the story instead of me. So if you ever see this little tiny one, then it means we're all doing the story because I don't need to keep lots of things inside it. So what I've got in here is a story that you're going to help me tell. But of course, it won't work without some sound effects from you. So we'll have to practice those first, and then we can have the story. So here's the first one. When I say the word tree, I need a kind of tree. So we'll try that, shall we? Tree. Yeah, it sounded a bit more like a mouse with asthma. Think kind of horror film. Think, you know, kind of creaking door. Tree. That's better. Okay. This is the easy one. Crowd would be a great cheer. Crowd. Yay! You're really good at that one. So tree. Crowd. Yay! When I say the word stopped, you've got to shout stop and stop. So tree.
Tree.
Stop.
Stop.
Crowd.
Yay!
And there's just one more. And Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was very nasty, so when I say his word, you need to say boo. Zacchaeus.
Boo.
Right, I'm just going to try those one more, and then we'll have the story. So stopped.
Stop.
Zacchaeus.
Boo.
Crowd.
Yay.
Tree.
Yay.
Oh, brilliant. You're professionals. Right, let's tell this story between us, shall we? Today was a special day in Jericho. All along the road, from the well at one end to the tree at the other, the crowd was growing. In fact, the crowd got bigger and bigger and bigger until the crowd were three deep in front of the tree. Every member of the crowd was waiting for Jesus, even Zacchaeus. Well, you're a bit tame on that. Even Zacchaeus wanted to know what was going on. Nobody in the crowd liked Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was mean. Zacchaeus was nasty. And Zacchaeus had lined his pockets with money from most of the people in the crowd. So by the time Jesus was coming, Zacchaeus ran from this end of the crowd to the other end of the crowd. But no one would let him in. After all, no one liked Zacchaeus. So he climbed up a tree high above the crowd and waited. Just as Jesus rounded the last corner where the tree stood, an amazing thing happened. No one in the crowd was expecting it. He stopped.
Stop.
Just under the tree and looked up. "Come on down, Zacchaeus," he said. "I must eat at your house today." Zacchaeus looked at the crowd. And the crowd looked at Zacchaeus. At that very moment, Zacchaeus stopped.
Stopped.
All his mean ways. And on that day, everything changed for the better. You see, you're very good at telling these stories. Let's stand and sing together, Rescuer. Jesus was his rescuer and made everything different for him. Let's stand and sing it together.
Okay, gonna need to have a bit of foot stomping. Remember that one? He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how great the bound. We will praise the Lord our rescuer. There is good news for the captive. Front row particularly.
Wonderful.
Good stuff.
Do take a seat, and if you're going out to your groups, perhaps you'd like to make your way there now.
Great, so we're going to continue singing. And this song we have sung before. It's called You're the Word of God the Father, and the tune is quite easy to pick up. Three verses, and it's a great song because the words are fantastic. It summarizes exactly who God is, what he's done through Jesus, and kind of thinking forward to Easter, it just kind of says it all, really. So let's stand and sing this one. Together by the power of
Please sit down.
So just as we gather, we're going to continue to sing acknowledgement of the need that we have for God individually and as a body of believers. So we're going to sing We Bow Down. You might wish to stay seated or stand, but let's acknowledge our need of God this morning. Okay, we see. We bow down. Just a moment as we kind of sit and settle again. The acknowledgement of who God is and his character and his faithfulness and our need of him in our lives.
Yeah. Dear Lord, our Father, thank you for this new day when we can come together to worship, to learn, and to praise you. We thank you for all we have, food, homes, family, and friends, and ask you to help us appreciate these things and notice our neighbours and our neighbours' needs. Dear Lord, you see into the hearts of each one of us and know each personal struggle, how we want to live our lives for you, to hear your voice and know what you would have us do. Help us to hear and to have the courage to respond when you call, not to feel too old, too young, too inadequate. Help us to know that we are all part of the whole and have a role to play. Help us when we find it difficult to find the words to communicate with you and also with each other. We thank you for our families. Some of us may feel sorrow or regret for not seeing enough of the members of our families through pressure of life or distance. Help us to reach out to those who don't see enough and help us to bridge the gaps and strengthen the bonds. As friends and your church family, we ask you to help us love each other, notice, care, and support each other, and spread your love. Help us to look for opportunities to take part in building your kingdom. We pray for all young people taking exams at this time. Help them to do justice to their efforts and to gain the results that they need. Dear Lord, we pray for all who are unwell and or may be waiting for test results and hospital procedures. We pray for Jane Billington, who is not too well just now. We pray for her very supportive family that they should have the strength and ability to cope, and ask you to show us if there is a way that we can reach out to support them. We pray for Carl, who has been going through a very unsettled time at home. We pray that the carer situation is soon properly resolved so that Carl can feel confident in the people around him. We pray for John and Di Cullen as they prepare for the wedding of their daughter Sarah to Andy. We pray that amid the activities and deadlines, they can all keep their focus on the joy of the joining together of two lives. And we thank you that we can all share the pleasure and happiness of this forthcoming occasion. We pray for those whose needs may be unknown, perhaps too sensitive to share, and ask that you can use us to find some way to give support. Show us how to give love and caring, even when we may be unaware of the personal situation. Dear Lord, we thank you for Richard and the leaders in our church and ask you to bless and strengthen them. We pray for the leaders of our country, that they may have the wisdom to know and the courage to do what is right for all in, and for all in our country, to find a way to stand behind those leaders in whatever decisions are made. Dear Lord, help us to remember that when we feel most alone and anxious, you are closest to us, holding us safe. Thank you, dear Lord, that we can find peace in you. We know that you're listening to us and ask that your will be done. Thank you for this new day, dear Lord, and each new start. Help us to be worthy of it and for us to do something worthwhile in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Daph, for encompassing us all in those prayers. So helpful. In a moment or two, I'm going to ask Ingrid to come and read to you. But I just wanted to tell you a little bit about what we're looking at over these next few weeks. A little while ago, I was approached by Authentic Media to do a little film for them about a Lent talk. And I came up with this brilliant scheme. I thought, okay, well, I'll go and film it on Coombe Gibbet because I was going to talk about pathways. And, of course, the Ridgeway goes across there. Complete disaster. Try and use a camera with sound on it on the top of Coombe Gibbet on a windy day. Great idea, but didn't work. However, the idea stands. You see, the Easter story is crisscrossed with pathways. There's one that we'll hear about today as Jesus is making his way towards Jerusalem but stops off in Jericho on the way. There's the path at Bethpage where he stops famously at a gap in the road and looks down at Jerusalem and weeps because it's not what it ought to be. There's a kind of secret path through the streets to the upper room, you know, where Jesus gives them this kind of nod and a wink thing that they have to follow a man carrying a water jar and he'll take them to the right place. There will be eventually the path up to Golgotha. There will be on Easter morning, and we'll look at that together, the path into the garden. On Palm Sunday, there's that pathway in through the city gate, the roaring crowds. And at the very end of this month, we'll look at the path along the beach where Jesus meets them and they scrunch down the stones together. People walking with a friend who died and now is back with them again. And that's just some of them. You read the Easter story and you'll find, as I say, it's kind of crisscrossed with these pathways of people going to different places. And we'll pick up on those on the next 4 weeks, just some of those pathways. Today's is the pathway through Jericho. You told the story earlier, but let's hear it in a rather more traditional version now. Thank you, Ingrid.
Our reading this morning is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, and the passage is entitled Zacchaeus, the Tax Collector, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." May God bless this reading to our hearts.
Thank you. Nobody wanted it there, the sycamore fig tree. It never seemed to grow any figs anyway, and everyone knew it would just get in the way. That was way back, though, when it was just a sapling, and someone could have pulled it up if they'd tried. Now it was old and gnarled and established. Its roots had burrowed under the road and bulged up through the dust like an unseemly vein pushing up through the skin. The tree was an ugly welt on the surface of the town, just like Zacchaeus. Like the roots of the old tree, he'd burrowed into their lives, draining all that was good and growing fat in the process. He was rarely seen in public and hardly ever without a henchman to watch his back. When he tried to muscle in on the town's Salvation Day, nobody wanted him. He was met instead by a wall of unyielding backs like armor plating to keep out an enemy. Every gap closed at his approach, every shoulder pressed to the next as if to deny him even the tiniest glimpse of the good. Even the tree bristled at his approach, but what could it do? After his undignified climb, he lodged in its branches like an ugly cuckoo chick in the nest of a dainty songbird. If the tree could have shaken him loose, it would have done so, but it could not. When the Maker's Son stood beneath its branches, it dared not move, but stood sentinel-like, a foot soldier, at attention before its master. Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus, which no one had ever done, and said, "I must come to your house today." And the shamefaced tax collector began to scramble down. As his feet touched the ground at the foot of the tree, the world went still as if someone had sucked all the air out of it. Caught in the dappled shadows from the tree, his face was pallid and afraid, like a night creature held up by a hunter in the unaccustomed sunlight. His heart raced at the thought of the teacher coming to his home and sank at the memory of how he'd paid for the food in his larder. Bullying and intimidation were his bread and butter, and right now he felt like he might choke on them. Clearing his throat and looking the crowd in the eye, which he never did, he announced that here and now he would give half his possessions away. Not only that, he said, but to those he had cheated, he would pay back four times what had been taken. The crowd recoiled in shock. A freak breeze blew the branches to one side and his face caught the full sun. Something changed in Jericho that day. and no one ever felt the tree was in the way again. You know, sometimes we treat salvation as if it's all our own idea, as if it's a purely private transaction between us and God that takes place at a whim from us. We treat it as if it's primarily a comfort for the day when we shall meet God face to face, and any good thing that comes between now and then is just a bonus or a byproduct. I think this story gives the lie to both of those things. This story reminds us that when man or woman comes to faith, it is a divine appointment, that God has somehow set this up. You know, there were plenty of roads that Jesus could have taken to Jerusalem. He didn't have to go through Jericho. And even if he chose to go through Jericho, there were plenty of streets he could have taken and didn't have to go down that one. And with a cheering crowd at eye level, who was to say you would ever notice a man in a tree up above the crowd? But he stops at exactly the right spot, in exactly the right street, at exactly the right time to look up and catch the lying cheat Zacchaeus in the eye. And just in case we don't get how much is going on there, Luke underlines it by using a very specific word. He puts a word in Jesus' mouth as he explains to Zacchaeus what is going on. He says, "I must come to your house today." Literally, the word means, "I am bound to come to your house today. It's written. It's got to happen." It's the same language he would use later on in the gospel of saying, "I just have to go to Jerusalem." It's the same language he would use later on of saying, "I just have to go to the cross. I am bound to do it. It is that important." When your friend or your neighbor or your husband or your wife has that moment of encounter with Christ, it will be because the entire resources of heaven have been deployed in response to the faithful prayers of God's people, and that includes you. It's like those old-fashioned models of the planets where, you know, if you turn a handle, the cogs are such that they all move at the same time into a different alignment. It really does matter that much. You know, Luke has a particular thing about this. Remember, Luke was not one of the original disciples. He wasn't one of the ones who was there with the 12. He was brought in through the ministry of Paul. So Luke always has this sense of being Johnny come lately, of being, you know, brought in at the last minute, of being allowed to join the party. He always has that sense of how enormous it is that God should include someone like him. Luke is the only one who tells the story of the prodigal son. You know, we know it so well, you'd think it's in all the Gospels. It's not, it's only in Luke. And when Luke tells it, he hammers home the point again and again. He makes sure that twice in the course of the story, we get repeated this line about, "Look, I was lost and now I'm found. I was dead and now I'm alive again." He says that, and then the father says it again at the end of the story. "He was lost and now he's found. He was dead and now he is alive again." It is that big a deal. When somebody comes to faith, when somebody says yes to Jesus, when somebody comes down the tree and looks Jesus in the eye, that's a big deal. God moves heaven and earth to make it happen. You know, I became a Christian, I've said before, because of the Gideons. I came to my school in 1976, gave me a little Gideon Bible. I went on to Christian Union because I couldn't make head nor tail of it. Went on to Crusaders, became a Christian there. At the age of 16, I got baptized. And I kind of thought that was all my idea. I kind of thought, you know, I'd seen the pieces coming into place and I'd fallen in with it. And I had decided to do this thing. What a clever boy was I. And then I met this person, Anne, who went to the church where I became a Christian. And she said, "Oh, Richard, you do realise I've been praying for your family and especially for your mum since before you were born, don't you? You do realise I've been asking God to bring this about." When people meet with Jesus in a Sunday service or in a small group or in open house, when they will meet him in the next chapter of this church's life under a new roof, when they come here for a conference or a Keep Fit class or meeting with their key worker or to have a coffee together or to a worship service, and they discover that God had been looking for them all along, we had best believe that that is a big deal.
and that God has brought it about and that God has been working on it. When people come to faith, it is by divine appointment. We are privileged by any part in that. But when people come to faith as well, it's not a private transaction on the inside with nothing seen on the outside. It has to change both the inner and the outer life. Now, it's an interesting thing in this story that Jesus does not say salvation has come when he sees the enormous effort that Zacchaeus has gone to get up the tree and make sure he can have a view despite everybody hating him. Jesus does not say salvation has come when Zacchaeus clambers down the tree with everybody presumably jeering or at least pointing at him and stands at his feet. He does not say salvation has come when Zacchaeus sees him, comes down the tree, stands in front of him and says, yeah, you're welcome to come to my house. The only point at which he says salvation has come is when Zacchaeus demonstrates some fruit that he has changed. It's the point when Zacchaeus actually stops, verse 8, and says, look, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. That would have been a lot of money. And he says, I've cheated anyone out of everything, I'll pay back four times as much. Interestingly, the fine for embezzlement was to pay back one-fifth. He's so bowled over by this encounter with Jesus that he says, I'll give half my money away, and if I have embezzled, then I will pay back four times as much. There, in that moment, is the evidence that his heart has changed. And it's not quite clear from the story whether that happens when they're on the way to the house or when they come back out of the house. I think it's before they even go through the front door. You know, the fact that Jesus has stopped and looked at him and looked up at him, which no one had ever done, and said, look, I must come to you. Somehow the conviction of all of that changes Zacchaeus, that he says, look, I've got to put this right now. You know, I have got to demonstrate that this has changed me. You know, I felt I knew this story inside out and back to front. You know, I encountered it as a new Christian. I encountered it in Bible studies. I've preached on it, all of that. I don't think I really understood this story until I went to prison. I will explain that. I spent a morning in Wormwood Scrubs. A friend of mine was very involved with Christian Prison Fellowship. And they run a course called Sycamore Tree. It's based on this story. It's all about restorative justice, trying to get people to understand the consequences of their actions and thereby to do something about it. So I went along to the final session of the course. And after a little presentation at the front, we all then split up into groups. And there was one group looking at the impact of this episode on the families. There was another looking at the impact on Zacchaeus's victims. There was another one looking at the impact on Zacchaeus himself, and then another group, which I was in, looking at the impact on his neighbours. So it's me and this bunch of lifers or long-term prisoners in this little group talking about the story of Zacchaeus, which was an unusual setting, let's put it that way. But goodness me, did they understand it? Goodness me, did these people who'd gone through the course and started to have a work of God's grace going on in their hearts, did they really understand that it meant not just embracing him and saying, thank goodness, I'm safe for heaven now, but saying, I need to change right here and right now? You see, there's a divine appointment that happens when someone comes to faith, but also there is fruit to prove that it has happened. One of the guys in the group spoke to him afterwards, and he'd started off just stealing drugs on the street, landed up importing cocaine on pretty much an industrial scale. By that stage, he never sold the stuff. He was not handing it over to the users, so he convinced himself that he wasn't actually doing anybody any harm because he wasn't actually passing it out on the streets. And then he met with the Lord, totally and utterly convicted of the number of lives that he had ruined. And towards the end of his sentence, training to be a counsellor, to go and work in schools and in prisons, and to talk to people about what they were doing. You see, the Zacchaeus moment is the moment when we encounter Jesus and we take him seriously and we change, and then as a consequence, the world around us begins to change as well. So often, the Bible points to tangible results as evidence that a spiritual change has gone on the inside. Remember that time when John the Baptist is in prison? And he's starting to lose his nerve and think, oh, did I tell you the right thing? And so he sends some runners off to Jesus and they say, oh, John wants to know, are you the bloke he was talking about or is it someone else? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus says, take a look around you. Look at the blind seeing and the lame running and the deaf hearing. Go back and tell him that. And then he'll know that a work of God is underway. Or look at what happens on Pentecost Day when the Spirit comes and the tongues of fire are there. But what comes as a result of that is this great tidal wave of generosity where people start looking after each other's needs and nobody goes hungry in the early church because the Spirit of God has changed them so much that they yield their touch on their own, their grip on their own possessions. These all belong to all of us. Let's make sure that nobody is in need. Christ makes this incredible, enormous statement in verse 9, where he calls this sycophantic, Roman-loving cheat a son of Abraham. Jesus said, today salvation has come to the house because this man too is a son of Abraham, which I suspect went down like a lead balloon with the crowd. Why does he say it? He says it because this man is starting to behave like a child of the promise. Real, true, deep salvation is never without external evidence. What did people notice about you, I wonder, when you became a Christian? Can they still see it now? Can they still see the fruit? When that spectacular moment happens where a person comes to faith, it is by divine appointment, and God has done all kinds of things of which we are not aware. And at that moment, fruit starts to be seen because God is transforming a person's life. You know, as I close, I had a meeting this week, which made me feel like I've spent the last 2.5 years with my eyes shut. I've been living in Newbury for, about 2.5 years now. And talking to these people, they were saying to me how easy it was to buy drugs on the street of Newbury. They said, oh, it's dead easy, you know, and I won't describe it, but they said, oh, if you go to such and such a place, you can buy whatever you like, and it's there for you. And I thought, what? How did I not see that? There's a lot of darkness in this pretty town, you know. There's a lot of darkness right under our noses, 2 minutes' walk from here. And it's great to contribute towards changing it. It's great to contribute towards bringing light where there is darkness. Let's build a lighthouse for heaven's sake. But when God lights up a place, he does it by pinpricks, not by floodlight. He does it by this heart changing and that heart changing and that one. He does it one broken soul at a time. One Zacchaeus at a time. And this town will change as that Zacchaeus moment gets played out again and again and again. And that will happen when we start praying for it and expecting it to happen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that Zacchaeus moment. Thank you for that moment when you come looking for us. And maybe for the first time ever we see you. Lord, forgive us for our ignorance of the need all around about us. And help us to address it in the best way, we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and celebrate. Easter Sunday, the greatest day in history. Yes, you cross the edge.
Father, we ask now for your blessing upon us, that we might live for you and speak up for you, and that we might make a difference. Bless us now as we go our different ways, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.